So about a month ago, we were at a conference in Eugene, a prayer conference, a gathering of houses of prayer. These guys were there sitting across the aisle from us. I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but I like this guy and he likes me for some reason. And we just talked. And out of that conversation, which was a highly relational environment, I just invited him to come. They were already open to that. And the whole purpose of them being here today and tonight is relationship. They're not here to minister, but the ministry will happen. It already has happened. But they were also ministered to, I imagine, as well. And so I just wanted to, I'll ask them a couple questions and then just see whatever the Lord is stirring on them. But the reason that they're here is because we want to be friends of theirs. I want them to be our friends. I want to be their friends. And so it takes a little time. You can't program that, and you don't do it by signing a donation letter. You do it because you've engaged with them. So their journey is much like ours. It started out a long time ago with Vineyard and moved through the prophetic and into prayer and maybe even apostolic. And so why don't you guys share where the whole thing started, and because that it started in Santa Rosa, but tell them how that all evolved in the beginning. And I say this because I think that you'll relate to what they're saying.
What do you want? What whole thing?
You started with Vineyard.
Oh, okay.
A church plant.
Yeah. What we did, Kathy and I actually met at an AG church in California, in Northern California. I was telling Jeff and Jody last night that we were moving towards being on staff at a local Assemblies of God church, and Kathy started, some friends of ours were going to a Vineyard, and Kathy, that had just started. I mean, they were just, there was, you know, 10 people or something. And she went there one Tuesday night and got just hugely ministered to. They just blessed her like crazy. And I was chuckling because although I believed in all the gifts of the Spirit and everything else, I thought, I don't know, that Vineyard at that time was really into inner healing and ministering to people's hurts inside and that type of thing. And I thought, I think these guys are kind of, might be a cult. And but when they touched my wife, and very deeply and in a very real way, that was just, you know, that was just an immediate inroad into my heart. So that's how we got started in Vineyard, is we started, I mean, within about 3 weeks, it's like, forget this other place we're going, we want to just be here. And so that's how we started. Then they invited us into leadership. So that was...
That was 12 years that you spent doing that?
16.
Yeah, 16 years.
Yeah, we started there in the mid-80s, and we were there until... So we did all that, fast forward to 2002.
And you were drug up to Kelowna.
Well, yes. What happened was... I have a lot of reverb.
Sorry.
Excuse me.
I think it's the monitors.
Oh, no, it's fine. I was liking it, actually. I felt echoey. Anyway... We were just local, you know, church pastors, and that was kind of all we did. And then Elijah List was pretty new on the scene, and Steve Schultz had said, you know, hey, we really want to hear from some kids, and we were helping do a Christian school at the Vineyard there, and we spent the first 2 hours of every day having the kids come in and worship, just surrender to the Lord and worship and dance, and they were having visions, and we were just recording everything because it was like this little mini revival of these, everyone from, you know, 4 years old up to teenagers. And it was every day for 2 hours, and some days school would just be hijacked because God was showing up so powerfully. And my son, who is in his mid-20s now, but at that time was probably 11 or 12, had just had this beautiful, beautiful vision when Steve asked for kids' visions. So I wrote a whole thing about what we were doing with the kids and included my son's vision, which ended up being the first, maybe maybe the only child's vision ever published on Elijah List. But Steve then called me and he said, you know, you write really well. Like, I'm going to include the whole thing. I know you just were introducing it to me, but I'd like to include the whole thing. Do you have anything else? And I said, well, I journal. I get things from the Lord. And he said, well, can you submit them to me? Will you submit them for publication? And I said, well, let me pray about it. So I called him back and I said, you know what? I don't feel like it's time for that kind of release for me. So, and he said, well, will you send them to me? I'll keep them in like a scribe file. So for a year, I would send them to him and he'd keep them in a scribe file until finally he wrote me and he's like, can I please publish these? Like, you know, he had just received all these words that this confirmed. And so I'm like, okay. Yeah, I prayed with some of the staff and they're like, yeah, you should let him release this. So I released it, and it was like we were launched from nobody's to we were on the radar. And both of us were really taken aback. So we got a couple weeks after getting, I ended up on, a radio broadcast that went global and all this stuff, and I was just kind of, they're like, can we introduce you as Prophetess Kathy? And I'm like, no, you may not.
The lady kept saying, well, what do you do? And she kept going,
I'm a housewife.
My husband works in a construction-related industry. She goes, okay, but what's your ministry? She said, I keep my house and watch the kids.
But she introduced me as something else anyway. So somehow that buzz went, and next thing I knew, we got a call from Patricia King, and she's like, can I come down to California and meet with you guys? And we were like, okay, Jeff used to answer the phone and go, honey, I think it's Billy Graham, because it was just one of those seasons that you wrote one word and it wasn't really that weighty. I mean, it obviously was a timely word, but it wasn't like...
You didn't even think it was that well written lately.
No. I mean, now I read it, I'm like, anyway. So Patricia called and we ended up meeting her. She came to California with her best friend, Aunt Ralph Bromley's wife, yeah. And we met with her, and she said, I'm planting a house of prayer in Kelowna. It's a year old, and God's given me a vision of a couple and actually a family that would come up and be a part and maybe oversee it and stuff. Would you guys come up and do that? But we need you like in 6 weeks. Well, we had just moved into our brand new built house like 8 months before, and we appeased her by going, yeah we'll pray, we'll walk out the door, we're not going to Canada. So we get in the car to this awkward silence, and I'm like, well, what are you thinking? And both of us were just like, we're not moving to Canada. Like, we're happy. We love our church. We love everything we're doing. Why would we go to Canada? And so I said, well, let's see if the Lord opens the door. Well, we drive up to our house, and the doors that we locked were wide open. And that was the beginning of one after another after another after another confirmations that we were indeed to leave his job, leave everything, leave our house. And it wasn't sold, and we had very high payments, and go to Canada. And so we packed up our four young kids and moved up to Canada in 6 weeks with no visas. We lived in a one-bedroom basement suite and with all of our kids. And then God just, we ended up being up there for a number of years. It was called the War Room, which we said was funny because it was the most peaceful place ever. you just walked in and you were like, oh, there's Daddy.
So get this, Kevin. Kevin and I were involved in an investment, and the culmination, the high point of that investment was gathering all the investors together at a church up in Canada. It just happened to be the same church these guys are at. So it ended up the investment was a deception. Kathy was in the prayer room praying for us at that event, and when that guy came in, who was the focus of the deception, she said, you can tell him.
Well, I walked up to my husband and I said, I can't be in there praying. And he said, why? And I said, there's something really wrong with him. Like there's something.
But she was more agitated than I.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't. I have no one. I don't have. I can't go to all these people who have invested hundreds and thousands and or hundreds of thousands of dollars into this. You know, who am I to say this guy's an imposter? But I think it was within weeks that it was...
Within weeks it was exposed.
Exposed.
Oh, yeah. So we were
so
there
so
at that
sorry.
Gathering together, and she was in the other room praying for us. Isn't that weird?
If only you'd asked her.
Well, it would have been too late. I think everybody in that room was already invested, and luckily we weren't. So anyway, we were in the house of prayer for 4 years, and during our time there... God just gave us huge favor. I've continued to write for Elijah List every month for the last 15 years, but we ended up a part of the National Prophetic Roundtable and the national team that was just, it was, the only way I can describe it is it's like a moving house of prayer that was going through the nation and gathering those with the heart to see for his presence and just to see the glory return to him in Canada. And we spent years traveling the nation, having everything from small gatherings, and then it would culminate in, you know, thousands and thousands gathering for worship and prayer and seeing the Lord shift the nation to the point that now Canada has a born-again prime minister. I think 36% of the government is Christian. Yeah, they are considered the best friend of Israel. You know, it is just, you know, and we're, the journey continues and now has gone global. So now we're working with nations all through Asia, Japan, Germany, Switzerland, you know, all just, it's just gone global. We're these teams and they're doing the same thing in those nations.
But they haven't done it here.
Not here.
So they haven't done it. Do you want to talk about that?
No, because you had a pretty strong word.
I did.
I'll build up to you jumping in there. So why not?
As usual.
This is why he's not on Elijah List. No.
He actually
edits everything that I write and helps me write it. I'm totally teasing him. God told us a year ago, we were living in California again after we came back from Canada, and we were just, you know, kind of doing our own thing. I had been traveling, but had taken a couple years off, and Jeff was just going through, I don't know if it's coming out of house, living in the house of prayer 24 hours a day, you know, to going back to, you know, a secular job. He just went through a dark night of the soul, just a really...
Yeah, we won't belabor it at all because it's not really germane to this discussion, but we did. We went through, it actually was a very protracted season of huge darkness, which the Lord has used to bring out the things that he placed within me all along. But it would be time for another discussion. It doesn't bother me at all to freely share, but I mean, there was... I for years and years, I just feel like to share it because some of you may go through this or have gone through it. Years and years and years of not trusting the things that he placed within me and not being willing to step into, I hate to use buzzwords like step into my destiny, but that was the reality of not accepting the identity that he had put within me. I fought harder against it than anyone I've ever met. I tell Kathy all the time, I did severe violence to myself. And that is what I did. But God was very gracious to use this time of severe darkness in me to finally break me and begin to let the stuff that he created me to do come out. And he had to, it was like he had to bend me down to say, will you accept who I made you to be? And I went, yes! So it was long and very dark and very hard. And I'm so profoundly grateful to be sitting here with all of you. Yeah. So.
the cool thing about him coming out of that was really, even though we were co-leading the House of Prayer and we were, you know, he would travel sometimes with me. Pretty much I was traveling by myself and I was doing these things. And that was always really, you know, really sad for me because I knew what he had within him. I knew what he carried within him. I knew what he didn't know yet, or he knew, but he, you know, in his mind, to say I'm this kind of a leader was a place of arrogance, and he just wrestled with that. And rather than just saying humbly, God, you know, you pick who you pick and you do what you do, and it's in my weakness you manifest your strength. Yeah. So, you know, it was accepting that he can take anyone, and it's, we don't need to fuss with it. We all have a beautiful call. So anyway, God, a year ago, called us from California. Just my daughter and I were having coffee one day, and she's like, she's pretty prophetic, and she looked at me, and she goes, so Oregon's been on my mind. And I'm like, whew, well, that kind of hit my spirit. And she's like, I'm like, I really don't want that to hit my spirit. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it any further. And she's like, yeah, she was newly married, and her husband's name is Luke, and we actually helped raise him, so it's almost like she married her brother, but she didn't. So she's like, I've been talking to Luke, and you know, he's really feeling something about Oregon, too. We're thinking the Portland area or something, and I'm like, well, you know, God's called us to be together. And she goes, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. And I'm like, yeah, I feel that. We probably don't want to break this to Dad. Like, he's coming out of a really hard time. Like, this might not be good news. And so we waited a couple days and met again. And she's like, yeah, I still feel it. I'm like, yeah, me too. We should probably talk to Dad. So we went back that night and talked to Dad. And his reaction, sure enough, was, I do not want to move again. Because we've moved 30-something, yeah, too many times. Because God's always just moving us here and there and everywhere. He's like, you know, another nation, another state, another, you know, again. I'm like, just pray, just, you know, just sit on it. Because I know God, like, he fusses at first, and then he always obeys. So I said, well, just pray about it. So we sat on it for a couple months, and then nothing seemed to be coming. And I'm like, we'll see what happens. And then all of a sudden, her husband got a call from... he worked for BMW Motorcycle as a service writer, and he got a call from the shop in Eugene saying, hey, we have a position open. Are you interested? And I went, well, there's Oregon. And so we came up a year ago this weekend. So actually it'd be a year ago today. And when we walked into Eugene, we knew. From like an hour after getting in to the city, we knew that God was saying, this is your home. And that weekend, we ended up going and getting our property and everything. Went home, asked all our married kids and our teenage son, what's the Lord saying to you? And they all were like, we're going with you. So we, 3 weeks later, because my husband said, the one stipulation is it has to be like all seven.
I said, yeah, I'm not going to be rushed. I'm not going to do like last time. We had to move in 6 weeks. I'm not doing that again. So don't ever say that to God. Because
he got 3 weeks.
Then he moves you in three. Okay, you don't want six, you'll do three.
But it's great. You know, you avoid a lot of warfare by not giving a lot of time. You know, so we just got about our father's business and made the move. And he said, I don't want you to get jobs. I want you to, we had 6 months of savings. And he said, when your savings run out, I'll be there. And so we moved up and he said, I just want you to go back into full-time commitment to travel and see nations and regions healed. And we're like, okay. So we came up, and other than writing, we began to just, God just began to invite us places and say, I want you to connect with those that have the heart of David. You know, I'm just going to bring you. And one matter of fact, when we met Jeff, it was that kind of thing. It was like, there's one of the Davids in the land. So you need to know him. And
so you... You got a word that about this nation, and because we don't need to spend a lot of time, but I think they need to find. You need to somehow communicate what this group of people is doing that probably in the future will impact this nation.
Yeah. Well, she referenced it slightly here a little bit ago, but this group that we were talking with Jeff last night, and he said it sounds kind of like a movement. And I said, well, it is a movement, but it's not a man-driven or person-driven movement. It's a work of the Holy Spirit that has worked through a remnant of people in Canada, a group of leaders, and it's, as Kathy said, it's now spread. It's happening all over the planet. I mean, there was a gathering in November in Jerusalem, and people from 30 nations came and worshiped and called out for the glory of the Lord to be manifested in the earth. I mean, and that's what has gone on in this called Watchmen for the Nations that we've walked with as the only Americans in the leadership team. Everybody else is Canadian. So is there anything you want to add
to
that?
Well, so as we walked through Canada, and it really is, it's very, we don't have keynote speakers. We have worshipers that come together, very competent worship leaders, but you do great. our eye is on you.
Well, I have to ask you, my heart burns for you. Where did you hear that?
IHOP.
It was
so it was birthed at one of our gatherings. That song came out as a prophetic song and then just kind of went wildfire to, you know, the house of, to court, you know, to different places. But we have the original recording when that came. And when that song came in 2006, it was the whole place, just thousands and thousands of people just on their face, weeping and crying out for the nations. And it was, so it was very, we were like, oh, he's got our song. So it touched our hearts. Our heart burned when you sang it. But anyway, it was, as we moved through Canada, it really just began with a remnant of people all through the nations. And when I tell you that in a gathering, you'll find Mennonites, Plymouth Brethren, you'll find completely charismatic, you'll find people from Bethel, you'll find, you know, every walk of life that come, and they're all people who are completely surrendered to the gifts of the Spirit and His love and are pursuers of His presence. Like, you find these people, and we have walked with, you know, we were able to walk with, the only thing we've been able to do in the U.S. at all, really, it was years ago, we walked with the Mennonites and the Amish, too, and these were charismatic Mennonites and Amish, and we were able to walk with them to reconciliation. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. But as we did this work through Canada, working with the Jewish people who Canada had turned away the boat, the St. Louis in World War II, which caused everyone on that boat to go back to Germany, and all of them were killed except the children. We ended up gathering all the children, the survivors, and bringing them to Canada over a couple years of building relationship with them and repenting on behalf of the nation. And what God did was beautiful, but it opened the door to... It closed a door of offense, and it opened a door where God was able to begin to heal the French and English issues and things within the First Nations people and just beautiful things throughout the nation. And then all of a sudden, people from, you know, there are Americans that join us in the journey, but they're a small number. But the Chinese began to hear about it, and people from mainland China and people from, because the Chinese church in Canada is pretty strong, started coming over, and they were just overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, we were invited into mainland China, and then we were invited. And so we recently, 2 years ago, not even, did a gathering in Hong Kong, and 30,000 came. And it was...
And there's some huge, which we don't have time for right now, but there's amazing stories of Chinese pastors who were threatened with prison if they went, and even had secret police going into the hotels where they were staying and were preparing to arrest them in the morning, and God would tell them the night before, time to go.
Change hotels.
Yeah, just, you know, switch hotels. And so there's just, I mean, these people are incredible because they go ahead and connect with this time of worship. Knowing, I mean, these aren't people who've never been to prison before. These are people who've been to prison, been tortured, and they go anyway.
So we're seeing the underground church not so underground anymore. It's really, I mean, what matter of fact, Chuck Pierce was just over at our last gathering, I think just a couple months ago, in, I think it was Singapore, anyway, and he just, yeah. He just sat there, and he ended up, David Damian, he's an Egyptian that has really been the kind of the key voice for the gatherings, just, you know, gave him his mantle and said, you know, God's going to do something so amazing through Asia, through this movement, and he knows that we are, so anyway, to get to this, God has said it's time for the U.S.
Yeah.
So we are right now meeting. I don't know why I jumped so quickly because there's so much more, but I just felt like you need to hear this. Yeah. God, you want to share about how he spoke to you?
I was fasting, and I felt like the Lord had me doing a fast, and it was he kept saying to me. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things that I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And I kept, so on the last morning of the fast, I was up really early. I was having a hard time sleeping. And while the presence of the Lord came on me so profoundly, and essentially, it was like this weight descended on me, and he said, it is time to begin this same journey that we've been seeing through Canada and through Asia. It's time to begin this in the U.S. And it was so, it hit me, it was so profound, and it hit me so so powerfully that I like leaped up almost from the floor, and I was like walking around for a minute thinking, whoa, I'm just like pacing around, and I'm thinking, what in the world? And finally, I was like, well, I'm going back to bed because it was so heavy on me. I thought, I don't know how to process this. I'm just going to talk to Kathy later. So that morning later, when she got up, I said, either I'm losing my mind or this is what I just heard from God, that it's time to begin this. And right immediately exploded within her, like all these things started making sense to her. So
our whole life made sense.
Yeah.
All the jumble, because it was like we had been in so many areas, so many threads, and it was like everything was braided together in a moment. And I thought, that's what this all has been. Because we couldn't figure out for years, 15 years of walking on the Canadian national team, and we're the only Americans. And we're like, why? Like, they don't even fuss with this. They just, like, it's just like we're not. And I know they've kind of adopted us, but there's so many Canadians that could do what we're doing. Why us? And when he said that, the Lord said, I needed you to do it with absolutely pure motives. I needed you to give to another nation and walk with another nation, not feeling like this is unto my nation. I needed it to be pure, and now you know. And it's like the bowl is full, and now you can do this. And so we began to pray and meet with different leaders. So we met with the Canadian team, and they just, never before had they felt there was any timing on that, and they felt like it was time. God just sovereignly gave us a private meeting with Dutch Sheets, and you know, he had heard, you know, some of it, and he was recognizing it in his own life that something was stirring up in the nation. So many leaders have just come along and said, yes, it's time. And so we have been just going around, and God's just linking our hearts with people like Jeff or New Church. Like, he's just telling, you know, go to this church, go there, because you'll find my presence. You'll find a people that, after my own heart, the type of people that I can trust. And there may be people here that want to walk with this journey. So we're meeting in, actually, in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, in August. We're having a national gathering there. But in the 2 days before, Americans are invited to come and join us for our first just time to pray. Just ask him what he's doing. And And then I have a feeling that it's going to be very quick that we start seeing things happen.
So do you guys see the language similarities between what they're talking about and what we talk about all the time? I mean, we always talk about not being a church or a congregation, but being on a journey together. Mm-hmm. And it's I think it's preparing us for being able to participate in something that isn't about us, but he's preparing us for it. He's putting some things in place. He's given us a vocabulary. He's given us a way to communicate. He's given us an understanding of what it's going to take when this thing begins to unfold. And it sounds like the thing that's exciting is we've all felt like the last 6 months, not we all, I don't want to speak for you, I have felt like the last 6 months have been ramping up really quickly. The times in the house of prayer here have been exaggerated in their presence of the Lord, and the sense that we have a purpose. We're meeting together for a purpose. Kevin, right? I mean, we've seen it happen. And so I think that we're in a place of privilege right now. All of us, you guys too. I mean, there we've traveled on a congregational level and somewhat on a regional level. They've traveled. They've made this. They're on a journey that's global, but I think the lines are going to be blurred soon between the two. So,
So we're having a global gathering actually, and anyone if you're interested, let me know at the end of October in Munich, Germany, at the Olympic site where the terrorist attack was. During the Olympics in Munich, and God, the Japanese and the Germans are hosting it together, because and the 70th anniversary of World War II. I mean, it's an amazing thing, and you know, so the Chinese and the Japanese are walking together, and the Jews and the Germans are walking together, and there will be many. There'll probably be 30, 40 nations there. And God just does amazing, amazing, amazing things that none of us, there's no way you could plan it. You just go with no plan other than to host his presence. And you journey together with him. And he's just, matter of fact, it's funny that you use the word journey, because on the way driving here, we were like, yes, you know, please. God, because in Canada, the journey is called Watchmen for the Nation. It's under the umbrella of Watchmen for the Nations.
In Asia, it's called the Homecoming.
Yeah, and in Japan, anyway, I think it's called A New Heart, New Hope. Yeah. And I said, I keep feeling like God's going to call the U.S. journey. The journey.
The journey.
Yeah, like, because
we were discussing this.
Because he wants to take us on a journey. You know, the only thing the Lord says to me when I think of the U.S. journey is he'll start singing love songs over the nation. And I'm just always like really intimate love songs, like even some secular love songs. Like I'll dream them all night long. And I'm like, God. And he goes, I just want them to dance with me, and I want them to let me lead. And then he'll just say, I'm longing for my family. I just want my family to come to my banqueting table. I have spread out a banqueting table, and I'm inviting them to come. And so actually our gathering in Edmonton in mid-August is all, it's just called his gathering, and we're all just coming, and he said, I've invited my children into the Father's house because I just want to do something sweet for them. So we have no idea what he's going to do, and this one's going to be a little smaller. Only I think that we were going to rent the Shaw Arena, and the Lord said no, and he took us to this very historic church that fits like 1,200, and he said, have it there. So we know it's going to be a bit smaller, but it's, I think it's going to be very intimate. And if anyone's interested, let me know. You're completely welcome to be our guests. But we feel like he's taking us. There are churches that walk these journeys where the whole church has said, yes, this is us. We want to see our nation. We want to see the glory of the Lord come and return to our nation. We want to see God's original intent birthed, you know, given back to him. And so I feel like God's been leading us to actual churches and groups of people. Not, you know, and usually we'll meet their leader and we'll go, I'll bet his whole church carries the same heart. And sure enough, we walk in here and you sing our songs, and the spirit in here was so ripe. Like it wasn't hard to get any, it was like immediate. And for me to go like out of that asthma, I had a really bad asthma attack right when I walked in. And mm-hmm. for me to come out of it like that, it was just like, okay, the worship is, there is a presence here. There is a heart that is so open, and it's just fertile ground for the Lord to be able to plant whatever he plants. And his presence is so real. And this is what it is. It really is. That's what the nation needs.
Don't you think it's interesting? What the Lord's doing right now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, wow, he's doing this here. It's like he's doing this
right. Everywhere.
We have a glimpse into a small piece. Like last week, Jerry and Leslie were in Vantage, Washington, at a gathering there. And so I got the ministry report from one of the people that was there last night. They talked about dropping a plumb line at the event. So there's a rope.
It was
a kettle weight that used, we're working out. Yeah, so they dropped a rope down from the center.
Those are cool.
With a kettle weight on it, and yeah. There's a picture of it. And Jerry's playing drums in the background in one of the pictures, and he was telling me about this guy who was leading Nesbitt, I think is his name?
James.
James Nesbitt. Yeah, and he said, do you think last Sunday, he said, do you think if he wanted to come here, would that be okay? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So then I saw this picture. Then they're talking about, like, recapping the event, and they mentioned Kathy's article from last month about ringing a bell at the event that Jerry was at last week. So I guess I'm not trying to make too much of this, but I think it's a big deal that we are, there's this flow of what God's doing, and it doesn't have boundaries on it, but you got to get in the river. I mean, yeah. you've got to go with this flow. And I think what the Lord has been doing for years now is he's been preparing our hearts to go with what he's doing. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be about us. I mean, the vision you had was profound, Diane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of that was really profound.
What the Lord was unfolding. That isn't a typical thing that happens on a Sunday. So I think part of it is the Spirit celebrating hearts that are similar. I mean, I think part of it is that Jeff and Kathy are here, and we're willing and they're willing to see the future together. And it's a pretty amazing place to be right at this very moment in time, I think.
I want to make it clear, we didn't come here we didn't come here with any preconceived notion, actually. We didn't come here.
We didn't know we were going to talk about gatherings at all.
Yeah, just to make it clear in everyone's minds, maybe I don't need to, but we didn't come here to recruit or to advertise or anything like that. It's just that Jeff felt like we ought to share it, and I think it's good. But I do want to tell you on a personal note, I was a worship leader for a lot of years, and I have... always really, really felt the presence of the Lord in ministering to others. And when I pray for people often, I will feel huge waves of compassion of God for other people. I don't often find it hard to connect in with God pouring out compassion on me for me. I mean, and that's been part of my journey and my struggle. But even to this day, it's hard for me and a lot of times during worship, borderline impossible for me to feel a lot of God pouring in ministry to me for me during worship. And I felt it overwhelmingly this morning. I was able to instantly get the warmth of the Father, the tenderness of his love for me here in this place. So thank you guys for that.
And he must really like you.
It was so beautiful and so precious. And I thought, this doesn't happen for me very often. And then the other thing, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not saying this because I'm wanting to make you all feel good about us. There is something really profound here, and I found myself praying something that I don't, if I've prayed this for another fellowship or group of people, I don't remember that I ever have. But I was praying about the same time that Kathy was getting her thing, I was praying that, first of all, I was aware that there is an anointing and an authority and a mandate upon you here, this group of people, that you're not completely aware of. It's bigger than you're aware of. And I also found myself praying, Lord, you have to increase. Not that I tell God what to do, but that's how heavy it was on me. You have got to increase and expand the influence and authority of this fellowship throughout this region. You have to. I just believe it's on the Holy Spirit's heart. So whatever that means, and that's, you know, you can't make it happen. We can't make it. None of us can make that happen. But I firmly believe that there is an influence that's going to grow from this place, because I that's how I feel it.
Yeah.
I wanted to, real quick before we end, I think it was you that shared about the turning over of the tables. What? Who said that?
Terry, over here.
Oh, Terry, okay. When you shared about that, during worship, I saw tables being overturned.
Wow.
And I looked at Jeff and I went, oh, God, just give me that. But I didn't feel like it was the time, because I was trying to get, okay, what are you doing? And I felt like he said, any place that a lie has produced a table, he's turning over. He is so cleaning his people. He is so cleaning even this place. And that's not, there is no condemnation in that at all. He's turning tables over in our lives, I am telling you. So if you feel like here this is, it's such a funny season, because all of a sudden we've moved into the new, and it's like, behold, I do a new thing. Will you perceive it? Well, in the perceiving it, God is turning the tables that are not his. It's the place that the enemy makes an exchange with us. They are being turned over. So if you feel like, okay, why in this time of great release and a new season am I feeling like these old things are coming up, these deep things are coming, God, there will be no more exchange with the enemy. And right. He is turning those tables over. And like he told us the other day, and this, I mean, he took me to Judges 6. He starts talking to me about when the Israelites are, you know, hiding from Midianites. I'm like, it's not Mennonites. They're okay. Anyway, when they're hiding from them, because every time they plant crops, you know, they're raided, and their sheep, all their livestock stolen, everything stolen. And the Lord says, I have this against you. You've worshipped Baal. And I'm like, well, I don't do that, God. And he said, Kathy, every time you trust in money, it's like you set up an altar. Every time you limit what I ask you to do because of resource, you go and you worship at another idol, or you worship an idol, and it is Baal. And every time you trust in something, in relationships, in anything other than me completely, and I am taking down the Asher poles, and I am taking down these altars, and I will have a people, and I will build a monument that says, the Lord is peace. And it's just, and he made it so clear. And Jeff and I came into such a revelation of God, like we didn't do it on purpose, but it's still there. There's still hiccups in us that make us go quickly to, you know, oh, if I only had this, I could do that, what the Lord asked me to do. No, if he asks us, he will provide. He is the one that, he is so jealous for all of us, and he is turning the tables, and he is breaking down the false altars, and he is breaking the Asher poles. He is taking care of business and cleaning house. So don't be, you know, there's no condemnation. This is just such a beautiful thing. Jeff and I feel freer than ever in our lives, because he's making sure that all the altars that are negative are broken down, and that God only builds memorials to victories. So, and that we are making memorials of victory, and we are worshiping Him.
So, are you guys free to receive money? Yeah, you're not against that, right?
We're not against that.
Okay, so how does that get to you?
We do have a ministry address, and
I mean, like today.
Oh, today, yeah. We do have a ministry name. That
what's that?
It's called Light Streams Ministries.
Light Streams Ministries. So I just want to open that up for you guys. If you want to give to Light Streams Ministries, we'll leave something up here because we need to wrap this up. When Jeff and I talked about what a date for them coming here, and it was the 17th, that's when we scheduled the face-to-face tonight. It was not because we needed to do a face-to-face. It was because I want more than just a couple of hours with these guys. So let's do that tonight. So we're going to gather tonight at 6, and you can just set it. Yeah, that's fine. Set it up there. And we'll gather tonight at 6, and we're just going to worship for a while and see what the Lord does. I'm sure that it'll be a continuation of what happened today. Today was profoundly... at a profoundly higher level than what we've seen in the past, which should scare the worship leaders, because the days of singing song after song, and you know, it's hard to do when God's moving in the room. So
you guys did fantastic. You really did. And Jeff, I told you I love your playing, and I just need to tell you
Oh my gosh, you are amazing.
You
are anointed.
Yeah, it you guys, there is, and it is still coming, but there are sounds sometimes that get released that bring in the presence of heaven, and I heard some of those today from you guys. Okay?
You guys were prophesying through your instruments well as through
Be
the
aware,
music.
If you're not, that you were.
The interesting thing is Chris has been sick for a month.
Really?
And he's still not, his voice is still not there.
The raspy was really cool.
Yeah, that was
God
good.
Came
I like
up. No, I'm just saying that we're in a lot of places. We hear a lot of worship. Not everywhere sets a table before the Lord where he can just come and you can just feast. Yeah. You guys really do that. It was really awesome.
So why don't you guys reach out your hands and we'll pray for these guys and we'll get out of here. You can bring money up and just set on the table. I think that's fine. And is it Lightstream?
Light Streams
Ministry.
Light Stream, yeah. I kind of have it.